Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, who remains stationed in Ottawa, calling another game tomorrow. And Sens looked good last night. Calgary not so good. The Habs lose again last night. And Vancouver, I think I put Vancouver at a different spot. We talked about this an hour ago. They had been really struggling anyway. I think reality has sunk in for most Canucks fans that it's just not happening this year. And
yeah,
they played a lot of games and they've lost a lot of games.
I thought to myself, and it's unfair because maybe we should do this next week. You know, we'll choose a date, like maybe game 25 or something like that. Like, is there any team that's capable of having that St. Louis run? No, of having that St. Louis run, you know, because you're playing against each other. And remember St. Louis, like it was like January 3rd, was like,
yeah, that's what I just said,
league.
digging out.
I'm sorry, yeah, digging out, yeah. Is there, and not just up north, I'm talking like, you know, L.A., like is a team that just for some reason hasn't gone away yet. You know what I mean? Like they're on a rebuild. Like maybe it's San Jose, like Detroit, they're in a rebuild. But maybe it's Buffalo. That's my point. Is there a chance like
yeah,
one of these teams go on a crazy run? Like maybe
I don't
we
see it this year based on the nature of the season, based on
right.
Like when they made that move and Berube came in, they still had, I think, 40 games left to play, you know,
right.
give or take. Now, like you got 30 games, 35 games, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot
right.
of teams. Once you hit the 25-game mark, you've got, you know, less than that. So you're yeah. looking at a scenario where I'm just not sure you can dig yourself out of to that extent. And it's something that I'm sure will be brought up. I just also wonder if it's even a possibility for teams to sell your owner. A pandemic, brutal season, 25 games to go, just forget it. You know,
yeah.
we'll let the guy
yeah.
go at the end of the year and we're moving on. We're not trying to salvage anything because it's probably more difficult to pitch the idea that that's even possible in a year like this one.
Yeah, and the only other scenario I could think of is a team that's been like hit by COVID that's really far down in the standings because of games played, and you don't really notice them, and all of a sudden they like rattle off a
that
bunch.
That could happen.
Like, where the hell they come from? You know what I mean?
Like, you look at Colorado because they haven't played that many games. I think they're sixth in the division. Like they're not playing
right.
that well based on what we expected, but
right.
they're still in it clearly, and they've got four games in hand on St. Louis, and they're only three back. So there's,
right.
you know, an example. Once they make up those games, they're probably right back where we thought
right.
they would be.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's what Montreal is hoping for. I think that's probably your answer, Noodles. Maybe it already happened, even though they hadn't bottomed out. Like, St. Louis was, like, dead last in the league or close to it, bottom five in the league. That's not
right.
the case here with Montreal. But clearly Bergevin looked at them and believed they were better than the way they were performing, believed the season could be salvaged, and hired from within. Got rid of the coach.
Right.
Hire the assistant coach, and maybe something will change in Montreal.
And they're lucky they had the start that they did. That's what it is. It erased it, but you're right there in a playoff spot, even though you know you've had a really rough like last 2 weeks. Like that's the crazy part too, is you play so many games in such a condensed amount of time. Like I was looking at Calgary's schedule, for example. They've got 5 of 6 against Ottawa. Now Ottawa beat them or dummied them last night. But say you the 4 or 5 now. Say you rattle off four of the next 5 against the Senators.
You're in a good
all
spot.
All of a sudden you're right back there.
Absolutely.
Like you know,
yeah.
So it's to be interesting. I do have an update on our buddy Tyson Nash about the left-right thing. I don't know if you guys want to hear it quickly.
What is his routine on the course? I need to hear
it's bizarre,
this confirmed.
Dude.
Yeah, I said, you know, we're talking about you on the show. Hayes was watching you golf, and apparently you're all over the map swinging left and right.
I love the way you threw that in there. Hayes doesn't even know the guy.
He knows who Hayes. He
says you're all over the map.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
a good little jab,
on,
but that's fine.
Carry on.
And he goes, dude, I am the worst golfer you've ever seen. I used to golf completely left, but now I switch to right. But I can't drive the ball right yet. So that's why he's doing what O's telling you what to do,
right.
telling to do, right?
Right.
He's transitioning.
Transition and go to your natural. Although he was a left-handed shot when he played.
Yes.
So
yes.
I guess
I'm not
maybe
telling Hayes to do that. I'm telling Hayes to completely switch to all left-handed. and I think that he would see something that he really likes. What's the harm in going to a plate against sports, grabbing a set of lefties? I'm sure your buddy that had drinks the Ryan Cokes has a set of lefty clubs in his garage.
Just go why would he be the one? Because he drinks Ryan Coke at 12:05 p.m. Eastern time. All of a sudden got his own
lefty set. You open up that guy's garage, I could tell you what's in there before you even opened it up.
Okay, go ahead.
It's like the Price is Right, pick what's behind whatever package.
Yeah, like guess what's behind there. Yeah,
Monty Hall.
I think you're probably
there's
right.
There's a small fridge area where he hides booze. There's some tools. There's an old grubby set of golf clubs, and I just know what's in there.
Yeah, the door doesn't work.
Hockey equipment hanging on the wall. Yeah. Some grubby shoes. An old car.
Yeah. It's all in there. You're checking off every single box, but he doesn't have like a golf town in his garage either, where I could just go in there and say, can I pick up an old school pair of left-handed clubs? But we've been through this before. I just don't have the patience for it. It would take me out of the rotation of golf for 2 or 3 years. I'm not going to do it. I might try it on the range, but that's about as far as it's going to go. Here's our TSN hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. How you doing, Pierre?
All right, all right, all right.
There he is. Okay, it's a Friday afternoon. You should be. That means you don't live in either Montreal, Calgary, or Vancouver, because if you like hockey and you live in one of those towns, you're not allowed to feel good right now. Just not,
not part
of the program.
Not the last few weeks, that's for sure. Well, really, Vancouver since the beginning. But, yeah, I was actually on the treadmill last hour listening to your segment with Ray, and you guys, I was going to stop you there at treadmill, but you guys didn't even hesitate. Okay.
Awesome.
We didn't believe it. We were stunned.
No, it was true. I'm flipping between you guys and the Scotties.
Okay. Shout out.
Yeah. No. Listen, you guys knew. No, I do the Habs games on TSN, and it's been unbelievable time with this team, and it's tremendous theater. Well, listen, all the Canadian teams always give you theater, but the Habs season is unbelievable. And I think the best way I could describe them right now in my mind as far as I think they're going to make the playoffs, but they are not the team that we saw in the first 2 weeks. Mm-mm. And they're better than this. They're somewhere in between that, and I think it'll be good enough for fourth in the division at the end of the year. I think I'd be a little more trouble if I was Calgary right now, because the group's been together a while now, and I don't know. Like, I think, like a lot of people, I expected them to be pretty good this year, and there are some signs there that go beyond a slump in my mind.
Yeah. And Pierre, I don't know what you think, and Jamie's not going to agree with me. Carey Price, we can all agree that he hasn't played up to snuff.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree.
But my second point of it is he is the key to the whole operation. If he could get back, and I'm not talking about MVP Vezina Carey Price, but just real good Carey Price. Mm-hmm. We saw that game in Toronto, the first game I believe it was, where Big Save Dave. It's amazing what the team looks like and how positive the video is when the goaltender's playing really well. It was like, wow, look how engaged Calgary is defensively. Maybe no, they're not. Maybe the goaltender is just good and making saves, and it's amazing the positivity of the clips that come out of it. But when the goaltender stinks, it's like the body language goes down. Everybody looks terrible on the video. So if Carey Price could just rein it in and be real good Carey Price, I think that's the A1 most important thing in Montreal.
No question. And with all due respect to Big Save Dave in Calgary, he's not Carey Price.
No.
He has not been the goalie that has been the goalie for this country for the past dozen years. You had Sidney Crosby at center, Carey Price in goal. Those are your Canadian stalwarts, right? You think Olympics and everything. So to see him struggle to this degree right now is difficult to watch. And it's interesting when I talk to people from other organizations over the last 48 hours, it is amazing the respect that he has from other players and coaches and executives. They want him to snap out of this. He is beloved. No one likes watching this, right? Like even Leaf fans, he's the one guy on the Habs that Leaf fans don't hate. You see that on Twitter. He's Carey Price. You know, he won Canada gold in Sochi. So it's difficult to watch because it's not just a slump right now. I know I do a lot of their games, and he's had ups and downs. Noodles will tell you the last few years, but he snaps out of it. He works with goalie coach Stefan Waite. He put a 936 in the bubble last summer. He was the best goalie in the playoffs, not named Andrei Vasilevskiy. But this is not just a couple weeks here. He has struggled from the start of the year. And so they do have to figure this out. I think they will, but I can't guarantee that. I don't know enough about goaltending. That's Noodles' department. And well, if they don't figure it out, it doesn't really matter what happens with the rest of the team.
Well, and they're going to go to Jake Allen, too. Like, that's a, you know, that's a softer landing than a traditional backup. Like, we are seeing, like, that's the, when you look at it, you know, take the Flames Leaf segment here the last couple day games where Markstrom's out. You know, it wasn't a big drop-off. Riddick was an all-star 18 months ago, like, and he played like it. Like, that's what you need, is you need good goaltending on nights where maybe your team isn't going or you're not getting good looks or whatever. Like, I thought the second game between the Leafs and Calgary that was more, like, both teams played pretty systematically strong. Like, I thought the Leafs played really well defensively,
I thought they played
too.
Well. Yeah, they played well.
So I look at it. Carey Price game, like, has to be 100 times better. We know that. Montreal's game has to be 100 times better. But you're right. Like, oh, if you don't get goaltending, like, goaltending masks so much.
Man.
It masks so much. But if you don't have it, that's where the teams are like, man, we're in trouble. That's I looked at Edmonton at the start of the season. I'm like, yeah, you got McDavid and Draisaitl. You've got some more depth. I like Yamamoto. RNH is there. You know, you got... But who was going to stop the puck? Koskinen had a really good statistical year last year, but he played half the games. I was concerned about Mike Smith. All of a sudden, Mike Smith looks like Mike Smith of 28 years old, not 38, you know, 39, you know?
And I know this is recency bias, but because I watched him worked their game last night, but I don't know if the Winnipeg Jets aren't playing the best hockey in the country right now.
Yeah, they're good, man.
They are.
They look great in the third last night, I'll tell you that.
Pierre-Luc Dubois now has his legs under him after the quarantine and after pulling that, having a little injury out of the quarantine. I mean, he's not going to stay on that line. He's playing with Wheeler and Shifley right now, like uncle. But last night they're popping that line over the boards, and then they're coming back with Stastny, Ehlers, and Kyle Connor. Like, I mean, they are filling the net, and they got Connor Hellebuck in goal. I question their blue line after Neil Pionk and Josh Morrissey. That's where I'd like to see Kevin Chevalier off if he can. Easier said than done. He's already four. I mentioned them as one of my four teams that I liked for Matthias Ekholm in a piece last week in The Athletic.
Oof.
Man, if they could get Matthias Ekholm to join that blue line.
And maybe one more, Pierre. If they could get that guy and one more, I'm telling you, that team is damn dangerous. Yeah. Damn dangerous. Yeah.
And they were not picked by, you know, when I polled 15 coaches and executives back in December about the Canadian division, everyone picked the Leafs, as did I. Montreal finished second in the ranking from those 15 people. Calgary was third. Edmonton was fourth. And I think Vancouver was fifth. Winnipeg was sixth in that poll. And I think people just thought that Hellebuck stole too many games last year, which is fair, right, Noodle?
But honestly, these guys don't know. Like, I've liked Winnipeg for a while. I mean, I've kind of been bullish with them just because you see the template of how teams are winning right now. It's a lot of skill up front, makeshift defensemen. You just need defensemen that can get you the puck and manage it. And then the goaltender. So I'm like, okay, check the goaltender off and check a deep top nine. And that's really what they have, because their third line is that Appleton's a real nice player. Adam Lowry's a real traditional, like, third line center, and Andrew Kopp's a good player. So there's nine on the guys that you were talking about going over the board. So I like that. That's kind of where I've always had the Leafs and Winnipeg as far as similarly built, as far
that's
as
true.
You know, the skill up top and the top heavy defensemen that are solid, and their goaltenders are good. That's the way I look at it.
Well, it's paid off so far, you know, for sure. And Edmonton, I guess, is an outlier because they're so top heavy, because those two guys are so good. But, like, to your earlier point, Pierre, now Mike Smith is unbeatable at this point, and everything's kind of just filtered in. Like, we had Ken Holland on earlier, and he said having Klefbom out has given an opportunity to Darnell Nurse to prove that he is capable of being the man now on that team. And Tyson Barrie has had a resurgence. So that's basically the template up here, is if you have a top six or top nine, you get some goaltending, and you have a couple of defensemen you can rely on, it can work for you. Yeah. Right. And that's what's going with the three guys who are, or the three teams that are rocking right now: Toronto, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
And you really can't underestimate the impact of not having Klefbom this year. Like, I mean, he is, you know, Leaf fans would always stay up at night watch the Oilers, but he is such a workhorse. To lose your top minute eating defenseman for an entire year, my goodness, like, it's really amazing how people have stepped up in his absence. And I got to give credit to Dave Tippett. I feel like his name doesn't come up nearly enough for what he has done there. I mean, they started a little sloppy, holes in their game, and he digs in with his staff, and their structure right now is impeccable. You know, and again, that's a credit. That's a Dave Tippett hockey right there, right now happening.
Yeah, they're getting some, you know, what you're getting is you found a third line. Like, Kyle Turris gets injured, and I don't want to say it's a blessing in disguise, but they put that Gayton Haas back in there, and he's been a really, you know, you've got some depth there. That third line with Jujhar Khaira, like, they're generating at least some energy. And Pierre, I just, where I wanted to go was, are you getting any rumblings or any sense? It's not even coach changes after what's happened in Montreal, but has the trade talk or trade market maybe heated up behind the scenes? Because I would think right about now, if you're going to make some moves, if you are crossing border, this 2 weeks is going to be pretty key, because you're going to have to sit some guys out based on the quarantine rules.
I tell you, it's not from a lack of trying. I mentioned Jim Benning on Insider Trading last night. I haven't talked, I believe, every team in the league in the last couple of weeks. There are other GMs that have been doing their homework as well, Brad Treliving. But it's been, I've talked to some teams in the South who've heard from those guys. Everyone's just saying it's just difficult right now. You got half the league in LTIR. Like, I'm pretty sure if someone researched this for me, because of the flat cap, I think this is the most amount of teams we've had in LTIR, maybe in the cap era. So you're having to trade apples for apples to begin with. The Canadian teams are worried. Okay, let's say you're Calgary right now, and I do think that Calgary's going to try and do something before April 12th, but these are said and done. But let's say you're trying to shake up your team right now, right? And you get someone from one of the 24 U.S. teams, he's gone for 14 days. It loses its appeal when you're talking about something that might help you right now. You're not getting right now help. I mean, it's amazing that Winnipeg survived without Dubois and Laine and Roslovich all at the same time for 2 weeks, and Dubois then misses a few games after coming back. Yeah. It's really scaring, I know, some of the Canadian GMs about what to do. Now, I think that if the Leafs do go out and get a top nine forward, I predict they will do it ahead of the deadline as much as possible. Like, I don't think they're going to wait. It's Kyle Dubas' trademark anyway, even pre-pandemic. I mean, the Muzzin deal was in January, right? A couple of years ago. I mean, he likes to try and go ahead of time anyway. I think that if they can, I'm not saying they will for sure, but if they can get it done, I think the Leafs will be out of the gates before the other Canadian teams, potentially before the deadline. Otherwise, if you get to April 12th, like, why would you even trade for a guy from a U.S. team to play in your top six or your top four when he's going to show up three games for the playoffs by the time he's out of quarantine?
Well, it depends what you're giving up, though, Pierre. If you're giving up picks and prospects, why would it matter?
You know, because you need time to adjust, Hayes. Like,
right, but if you think you can win a cup and that guy's there and ready to go come game one, I hear what you're saying. I'm not overlooking how this is not an ideal situation, clearly. But if it is future assets and some guy's just going to show up out of the blue and help you when you really need it, I'd still be willing to do that. You know, it's not ideal, but I think you have to pull the trigger. Like, if you're Toronto, you know you're going there. And you know this whole season is about what you do come playoff time. If you're trading, you know, a future pick and Nick Ritchie, or not Nick Ritchie, Rasmus Sandin, whoever it might be, then, hey, they're not playing for you anyway right now. You know,
but the integration angle is huge. Like, teams complain about, in a normal pre-pandemic world, that it's a 50-50 chance that a player after the deadline meshes. Like, throw in the quarantine, and how many practices are teams getting in the last 5 weeks here before the playoffs in May?
Right.
Like, I bet you it's three to four practices a month max.
Right. Yep. Yeah. That's true. That's got to be considered.
But let me throw this in here, guys. Blake Coleman got traded, and I believe it took him – I don't think he scored a goal for Tampa for like 10, 15 games. Like, maybe I'm wrong. I know because I did one of the games where I was like, you know, this guy's had a tough time settling into Tampa's system and into kind of the integration. But come playoff time, he's a guy that they certainly needed, right, and certainly wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so it's – I see where you're coming from, but I would much rather take a chance on grabbing a guy like Blake Coleman at the deadline right on that day and having him go through the quarantine process and integrating him into my team than not having that depth when it's needed.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Sure. Yeah. And sure. Like, if you're trading a piece that you have now that you is helping you but has to go for apples to apples, that's where I may not be willing to go down that road, but if you're keeping your roster intact anyway, and that may not be possible based on the salary cap and all the ramifications that come with that, but if it's future assets that aren't a part of your daily routine anyway, and you feel like they can help you when you really, really need it, you know, if you're a team like the Leafs who know they're going there anyway, I'd be willing to take that gamble.
Well, and it's just, it's one of those things you don't really know until you live it. But like, I remember Antoine Vermette when he got traded to Chicago for their last cup in 15. Yeah, 15. He was healthy scrap at times in the first two rounds of the playoffs because he just didn't mesh in and Joel Quenneville didn't trust him. And then finally he scored a huge overtime goal in the conference finals and then a overtime goal in the Stanley Cup final. And it was like, yeah, I finally get it now. And you know, Quenneville trusted him. But it took like 3 months after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That, you know, but good thing it happened, right? I mean, he scored a goal and
it paid off.
The final, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every deal you're making is a gamble, you know, and there's going to be the large majority of teams are going to make a move where they might say, I wish I didn't pull the trigger on that because we didn't get to the end goal. But I guess it also comes down to what your realistic goals are. You know, like some teams might think and some GMs might think just winning a round or two is worth it. You know, just go for it to try to win a round or two. So it's not that you have to win a cup to justify a trade. We've seen that before. The Leafs, like when they first got in, they traded a second-round pick back-to-back years. Brian Boyle, yeah. Thomas Plekanec, they got how many games?
Nothing
13 playoff
of
games out of them. Yeah, it did. Right. But it was worth it for them because they knew they weren't winning the cup, but they wanted to put themselves in a better position.
Sure.
So, you know, it also comes down to different viewpoints and different realistic goals and what you're looking to accomplish.
Yeah. And just to wrap this all up too, I find it interesting. The Leafs are the one Canadian team so far in general that have stayed away from most of the drama that we're getting all over this division. Cause I mean, you have to include the Jets only from the fact that it was awkward when Liney was at camp and you knew that he wanted out. So you got to sort of include him in that, in the blockbuster deal. But I was talking to an executive on the US team yesterday who said, man, he goes, we were just chuckling in our office the other day, or I guess virtually they were, but he goes, the Canadian division is there's something going on every day. And he said, really, even the Leafs with all the Nylander stuff, he goes, like, what is going on up there? And people, are, I think, are enjoying the spectacle of it. Because it's just the attention.
Seems like
and
you
all
are too,
drama,
Pierre.
I know. There's something going on in every Canadian market every day with this division right now, and it's shining the kind of spotlight on days that
It's called Canada, Pierre. It's called Canada. It's hockey coverage. People love it. They eat it up. They're pissed off if they lose. It's called Canada. Passionate hockey fans. Merci beaucoup, Pierre Lebrun.
La première étoile. Jimmy McCaw.
What about this one? You gotta say first star. You love saying Jonathan Drouin, so I want to hear
Jonathan
first
Drouin. It's one of those things that I struggle with when I'm on TSN in English, but I know how to say the guy's name in French his proper way. I'm known as Pierre Lebrun to you guys, but really my name is Pierre Lebrun.
Right.
Oh, so give me the first star of the game. Pierre Lebrun, go ahead before you go.
Nah, I can't name myself. I was too lazy as a hockey player. I can't.
Okay, Jonathan Drouin. Then.
Johnny Drouin.
Yeah.
Okay. In the premier étoile, the first star, Jonathan Drouin.
Woo!
Textbook way to go into the weekend. I love it. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. See you, man.
There he is, Pierre LeBrun.
You know, that's so funny. It's funny you got him to say that, because that's one of my memories growing up, is listening to the three stars on hockey night or whatever in Montreal. It was always Steve Schutt, Reggie, Pierre LaRouche, you know, like all of these. And the guy would just go to town.
It was so great, though, when it was like a really English name. Like, there is no more English name than Larry Robinson.
Or Steve Schutt.
Like,
yeah. First star, Mike Keane.
You should have. It's Michelle Keane.
They said back. There's a. I don't know. We'd have to talk to the quizmaster. But apparently, back in the day, Guy Lafleur put on such a clinic. He was all three stars.
They did that with Matt Sundin when he scored his 500 goal, I believe. Noodles, you were there for that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they did that. I would have known about
that.
No,
they did. I saw it the other night. Sure, I saw it like two or three nights ago on Leafs TV. They did it for Daryl Sittler, I believe, maybe when he scored 10 points. I hope. Imagine being the second or third star when the guy had 10 points. Although I think, I want to say someone had like six assists or seven assists in that game. Like Sittler had 10. I think a line mate, it might have been Lanny McDonald, had like 6 or 7 points. And gets jobbed because no one ever references that he had a career night too, because it's all about Daryl. But they did for Sundin. I know they did when he hit either the franchise record for points or 500 goals or whatever. He had all three stars. Andy Frost was doing it back then, and they did it for Sittler. Those are the only two times they've ever done it here in Toronto.
It was probably the 500. Break,
but when we come back, I'm going to read you a text that's going to get a pair of left-handed clubs in your hands. Do you understand me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I mean, I'm willing to listen. It's got to be
a
very compelling
argument.
Take a
break, and I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it.
Yeah. I got to mention, I know Nick Robertson is his name. I said Nick Ritchie, and I almost, like, just fainted. I'm like, you traded first at Nick Ritchie, and I noticed. I'm like,
you knew it was
who
Nick
the hell
Robertson.
Am I talking about here? Nick Robertson.
We knew.
We've had a tough day.
It's been tough sledding.
I don't know what I was doing. One time I said to Mullen, I was like, hello? And I was on the air.
The segment. And Mullen had just told me, said, oh, he's going to start this segment. So I'm like, all right, perfect.
Because I was afraid that my mic was on when I said, tell Brian I'm going to start. And then I was like, hello? And then I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
hello.
Hello.
Brucey, but
just everything's coming together for the boys on a Friday afternoon.
It's tough sledding.
We got some updates in terms of what's going to happen with the Raptors tonight. We'll catch up with Josh Lewenberger, Raptors reporter, on that. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. And apparently, the O-Dog, you have some sort of a compelling argument for me flipping to the left side playing
goal. Yes, I do. Right after the break.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine a little bit later in the hour. The Raptors will be playing tonight, but Pascal Siakam will not be a part of the lineup. He is out based on health and safety protocols, so COVID protocols. And Nick Nurse and his staff, or a large majority of the staff, are out, but there will be a coaching staff. Bobby Webster will not be on the sideline. Masai Ujiri will not be there. Some intern in the back will not be roaming the sidelines tonight. There is going to be a legitimate basketball coach, courtesy of the Raptors, handling things tonight. And Bobby Webster is still currently speaking with the media. He was supposed to speak about an hour ago. It got him, got up to the podium a little bit late. He has not been giving a ton of answers in terms of whether or not Siakam is related to the coaching staff, what a timeline would be on this. But he was asked about the idea of Kyle Lowry being a player coach tonight, basically going Reg Dunlop, and he said technically they're not allowed to do that based on the CBA, because I guess
what does that mean? How would anyone know or judge that is occurring?
Well, I guess my understanding is, just reading this in the break, that if you ask Kyle to be the coach, Kyle might come back and say, I'm happy to, but you have to pay me like the coach.
Oh, God.
And then
isn't Kyle Lowry
sudden,
been begging to be the coach forever?
He's basically the coach anyway.
No kidding.
You know who the L.A. Lakers coach has been for the last couple of years?
LeBron.
And in Cleveland?
Yep.
Who was the coach? I always draw a blank.
Ty
Lue was not the coach.
No. Well, he got himself a
LeBron
ring as the coach. But of course.
Ty Lue was a depth player on the Cavaliers with a suit on.
He was.
That's what he was, man. That team was LeBron, Kevin Love, Kyrie for 1 year, and it was just LeBron running the whole operation.
J.R. Smith, and that was it. That was it. And LeBron, even as a GM, I would say LeBron is more of a GM in some ways than
a head
coach.
Well, he showed up to Cleveland, he said, get this Anthony Wiggins out of here and get Kevin. Like, that was his first maneuver.
He was like,
him out of here.
Wiggins
first overall pick.
First overall pick, I don't want to go get Kevin Love. And listen, it worked out for him. LeBron knew who he was at that point, knew what he had.
Sure.
He knew he had Kyrie, and he knew he was in his prime, was the best player in the world. He was going to NBA Finals, which he did 4 years in a row, and just needed some more help. And Wiggins wasn't going to be that, clearly. That was a good move. Kevin Love paid off. But that's exactly right. LeBron, he had brokered that deal probably before he even agreed to sign there. Mm-hmm. Like, same thing with Davis. Like, go get Anthony Davis, trade this guy, that guy, the other guy. That's not CBA circumvention. That's allowed. Because it would be so great if Kyle could be the coach tonight.
It would be
awesome.
I know
it's pro sports. I get it. It's serious, and they have to take their job seriously. Just let him coach. Come on.
I know.
Let him be the coach.
If he wasn't dressing and he was in his street clothes, he basically would put on a show for everyone.
He should.
In my opinion.
I think you're probably right. I think you would, too.
I just want the other option. I want that. You know, those robots rolling in with Nick Nurse's face on the screen.
Yeah.
And, like, I believe, now, I don't think this is, like, a crazy thing, but, like, wave of the future. Like, this might be a scenario where you could, I mean, look at us. We're on remote locations. You don't think we could coach a team like this?
Well, I think it wouldn't be ideal, but you could pull it off. You could factor in, like, Nick Nurse, clearly, could be, you know, during halftime, speak with the boys. Like, I'm watching this. This is what we got to do. You know, we got to start closing out more. We got to start getting the ball into the paint more. We got to be more aggressive. We got to get it to the line more. Whatever. He's going to analyze the game.
Right.
And it's easier to get your message across when you're face-to-face. And you can't be on the refs. And you can't have a conversation with your guy. You can't be sitting beside your assistant and get a true read on how everyone's feeling about the rhythm of the game. But he's going to watch it tonight. He's going to analyze it as a coach, as his team. He could factor in. Again, if there's a scenario where there's a final play, the shot clock is off, it's an inbound play coming out of a timeout, Nick Nurse could call that play. He could draw that up on an iPad, and it would be fine. You could pull it off. I don't know if the NBA would allow that. I don't know what the rules are for technology, and you know there might be something to it where it would stop before you could even really get the ball rolling, but I would be surprised if he wasn't involved in some capacity tonight.
What if it was old school? Like, the guy's on the phone. Like, he's talking to Nick.
The whole time.
He's on the horn. Like, yeah, the guy, like, I'm
Start yelling at Lowry. Start yelling at the ref. That was a botched call.
The joke in Lethbridge was when Brian Maxwell was, and he was a grit grinder coach, would be so worked up because he's watching it on a monitor. He'd be yelling. I think the guy's name was Perry Shockey, the assistant coach. And Shockey would be rattled because you could tell that Maxwell was screaming in his earpiece, like, make this play happen, make this play happen. I honestly believe that there could be some form of a remote coaching situation here. Why not? I mean, the Raptors always think outside the box here.
Exactly. They're proactive. They're a progressive team, right? It's not a suspension. It's not, you know, he didn't do anything wrong here. There's protocols in play.
Coaches could pull it off.
I think you mentioned Siakam's out tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
How would you grade, or could you summarize or put it into perspective? He was under the gun when this thing started up after what he did in the bubble. I kind of have it around a 6 or 7 out of 10 where there's been some bright spots. There's been some moments where you're like, man, the last moment of the game in Minnesota where he had that opportunity to win the game was a low point. Just some disappointing parts. But how do you kind of put it all together and summarize it, his kind of return to play and what he's been all about?
Because he's been the most important guy. Yeah, I would say you're about right. I think, you know, Van Vliet's been the most consistent player, the best player. Mm-hmm. I think Lowry has played well when he's been in the lineup. Let's not forget, Siakam was a healthy scratch one night, remember?
He
fouled out the game before and he left the building. And Nick Nurse was somewhat coy with the details, but basically said, not doing what he's supposed to be doing. We have to cut this off where it has to be cut off, and he's not playing tonight. Like, that was a massive story, an embarrassment for Siakam. Like, a veteran guy who's making a lot of money pulled from the lineup, and they won without him. I think that was a Knick game they won. But beyond that, I would say over the last two and a half weeks, he is morphing into what we thought he should be, right? And he's playing well. He's been consistent on both ends of the court. So I can't give him like an A grade or even a B plus, but I can give him somewhere between a, you know, a B minus and a B, whatever that means, 6.5 out of 10, 7 out of 10, which says something because he was failing the first like 8 to 10 games, fouling right. out, playing poorly, lacking confidence. Again, a healthy scratch, leaving his team when he fouled out, bad look for him, yeah. and the leader of a team that was 2-8. That's a failure. But I'll give him credit. He's battled his way back into a passing grade and probably a little bit more than that. So I think he's done pretty well. I got to say, man, remember when we had Bobby Webster on before the season started and we said, you know, I was pleading with him. I think
Hawaiian
we all were.
Shirts.
Please don't throw it in our face up here that you're down in Tampa. Like, whatever you can do, we get it. You're down there. Enjoy your life. Have at it. But try to avoid making it so abundantly obvious that the weather is just remarkable down there.
Yeah.
And they can't help themselves. I just saw the Raptors posted another pick, another Fred VanVleet in his Ferrari pick on their Twitter account, which they've done probably 10 times already this year. It is an unreal-looking pick. He pulls up in a Ferrari. That's probably a $250,000 car. And he gets out. He's in running shoes, a swimsuit. Like, he legitimately looks like he's wearing swim trunks and a T-shirt and a pair of shades. And he's walking.
They better hope that you wonder if it's just one case, even one case, that someone doesn't get it in their head going back to Toronto. I kind of like this. You know, maybe I don't need that snow. Maybe I don't like having winter jackets like Kawhi does. And I hope nobody gets that in their head.
That's my thing, man. It is a thing, man.
Because I lived in South Florida for 2 years. And when you wake up and put flip-flops on, it kind of just gets into your whole... Like, yeah, Bobby Mack sit down in FLA right now, I bet you he would say, I wish I did this 10 years ago. Jamie, you live down there. It gets into your system where you're like, I love this, man.
Gronk just said it. Gronk is from Buffalo, and he played his whole career in Boston. He's like, I'm a flip-flop guy, man. I love it.
See, who isn't?
You guys know me. I don't like the outdoors. I don't like the water. And I still enjoyed Florida. But I bought a house there. I had a little kidney-shaped pool that I'd go and sit by. Money. I lived close
enough
to the beach.
I would go and sit by. Did you ever go in it?
Well, I think I went in. I had like a sit by.
Let me ask you something. Can you swim?
I would know what to do if I was in there. Yes, I can figure it out.
Oh, God.
I know how to swim.
Overly confident answer. I would know what to do if I was in there.
I would have a strong dog paddle, or I could flip onto my back and float.
Just such a great comment. I had a nice, beautiful kidney pool. I used to sit by it.
Because I had a place that I was single, I would entertain. So I had a rooftop deck with a hot tub and a bar inside, outside. It'd open up, overlook the beach, overlook
downtown.
You were
Ron Burgundy, basically. You were Burgundy walking around in a robe and a Speedo.
The thing, when I first got to Florida and signed with the Panthers, I grew my hair long, all one length, and then I bought a 1975 Cadillac Eldorado, two-door, and it had a rumble seat in the trunk, so you could get 9 into the car. And we'd drive around that thing, and it was awesome. Like, I thought I was going to retire there, to be honest. And then the lockout happened. I played 1 year there. My option, Luongo got traded. They got rid of me. I ended up going back to Calgary. But it getting back to the Raptors and lifestyle, it's a great lifestyle. It really is. Let's not take a – we can't forget about one other scenario. Money. The tax situation.
Oh, I know.
The write-offs, all of that. Like, there are a lot of pluses. Yes, I loved, you know, listen, I live in Toronto. I love it. I've been here 10 years.
We're Canadian. And Fred, using him as an example, he's from Illinois, right? Like, he's from the same weather patterns we are from.
Right.
But it just, there's nothing they can do. They're coming home. They're going to be here. They're going to be back. And they're locked in, and listen, Toronto's an incredible city when we're all open and alive and free and living the life that we want to live. It's incredibly compelling as well. But shorts, T-shirt, Ferrari
so dialed
flip-flops to every game is pretty solid.
Like feels good.
Yeah, you can't really dispute it. It's a pretty incredible picture. Like Van Vliet, just $250,000 Ferrari, T-shirt, swimsuit, flip-flops. Let's go play ball. See what happens tonight. Pretty decent lifestyle.
And the other thing, too, I'll add on to that. Win or lose, you come out of the building, and it's still – you know,
it's like 25 degrees. That, there's nothing better than that than a warm night. Like after a big game, imagine how cool you could speak to that in Florida. Like a big win on a Saturday night, and you're like, we're going to have a pool party right
now.
Going
to South Beach.
Like, yeah,
we'd go to South Beach, or we go to Hollywood. They used to have a Hard Rock Hotel there that has a bunch of bars and a casino and stuff. You roll in there. You're feeling pretty good. Like
money.
Nobody knows who they are. The difference is nobody knew who we were.
Right.
But they probably know the basketball players. Yeah, the Panthers don't move the
don't
needle
really
as far
out necessarily.
As public eye. Correct.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, you got to be careful, but Florida's open, right? Like, Florida is open. So, hey, go about your business. All right, we'll come back and get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. We'll get to your text, though, about
I have to tell you, man.
Okay, save it. We'll read it. We'll discuss it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Houston is getting 7.5 tonight. You know, the Raptors, they're coming off 2 losses in a row, but Nick Nurse and his staff are not there. Siakam is out. That's just too big of a number right now. Like, the Raptors could win this, but likely won't cover the number. I'll be on Houston tonight. I'm on the Clippers on the road in Memphis tonight, and I'm on Golden State big at home over Charlotte. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Well, we're at the final segment of the week. Not been my A game today. Not even my B game, maybe not my C game, but we're grinding. I've been trying to grind.
I jammed you up.
No, it wasn't you. It was technology, man. Nothing happened.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing we could do.
Keep talking. The best part about it is...
The window story. Yeah, the window. This save guy was having a breakdown, and you're like, you got to see what happened to me. And Hayes was...
There was smoke
coming out of the ears, nose, and you were like, yeah, go ahead with the window thing.
I was just trying to lighten the mood.
I know exactly what you were doing, but this guy, I could tell when he just was like,
He
wasn't having it.
Anyway, Hazy, here's what I got for you. Here's the big text message from my buddy Johnny Germain in Etobicoke. He said at 55 years old, his dad switched back to his natural lefty, shaved 20 shots off of his game.
Ooh.
20! And he said the same thing as you. Somebody put a right one in his hand. It was his natural to be. Why are you shaking your head?
Because 20 is impossible.
I think you have too much pride to say, you know what, I'm going to grab some left.
Just go
grab somebody's 5-iron and say, you know what, I'm going to hit some balls with a 5-iron. Want to watch it.
I have a wedge. I have a left-handed wedge in my possession, and I have tried it. You know where I actually know I'm better at hitting left is chipping, like around the green and stuff. I have a better feel around the green.
What the hell?
I just carved up Nasher for going left, right, left, right. I can't do that. Like,
no.
I'm not going right-handed all the way up to the wedge.
Dude,
and then
play around all lefty first round of the year and see where it brings you.
But nobody cares.
Dude, you know, exactly. You're a heavy hitter now. You're at a club. You're a member at a club.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
it does. You
got to
get
game.
It together. You got to get it together. You and Tux, your buddy.
Yeah, I got to reach out to him, see what he's up to.
Yeah, to the simulator in the garage. You and beers and a simulator.
Yeah, just to let him know. Hey, what's up, pal? We're getting close to the golf season. That's it.
Thinking of you. You know,
right. How would you react if I sent him unprovoked? Hey, just thinking of you. How you doing over there, pal?
He would not. He doesn't even respond to me. Why would he respond to you?
I don't think he would.
You got to understand, in the hockey world, guys are only buddies with buddies' friends because they have to. He's only nice to you because we work together.
That's nice.
You know how many floaters? I'm just saying, Noodles, you know this. Oh, how many floaters are out there? You got to be like, hey,
I'm not
buddy,
a floater, what's... though. I'm not asking for anything from him. I'm not saying, can you take me out?
Actually, you know? And to be honest, there was times where we felt Tux hated you because he disagreed with your hot takes.
A lot of
my
did.
But now you're best buddies. Now you guys are best buddies.
Potentially. I don't think so.
The summer of Hayes and Tucks. I mean, there's a
you
lot
know what?
Of potential.
Next week
for
we'll get him on sometime to say where are you at with Hayes?
Okay.
And
I like
golfing
it.
With him and hanging out with him.
All right, let's talk about it. And how would he feel if I was chopping it all over the place, hitting left-handed when I'm supposed to be hitting right-handed?
Exactly.
You know, that's another reason why. Like, who would want to play with a guy who's learning how to play the game effectively?
Dude, you're not learning, you idiot. You're left-handed. You're a left-handed golfer.
I haven't played that way in 25 years.
You're
more
an athlete.
25 years.
You pick it up naturally.
Natural athlete. You're right about
athlete.
That.
Athlete.
All right, boys. Good stuff. As good always, stuff. Have a great weekend. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy all the games. We're back Monday at
4 p.m. Want to hear about a window guy?
We'll chat then.